cliffcentral.com.
All right. A little Pedro Carrillo bootleg remix of Michael Jackson's Thriller. Sia says to me, I don't like remixes. I'm very old school. That's what he said. Yeah, how do you like that?
1983 was a perfect year when Thriller was released. Let's not do anything or change it.
1983 was still a long time before you came along.
Oh, yeah. 12 years before I came
1983
along.
Was before my buddy's time, right?
It was exactly my time.
That's your time.
Yeah. Because this is Thriller. Thriller night.
I love
that whole
song.
13-minute video.
God, it was great.
Was he the first person to turn music videos into like a movie?
Stories. I don't know if he was the first, but he did it better than pretty much everybody. Wow.
Well, Michael I remember Jackson. Just having the VHS. Our family had the VHS of the Thriller music video.
Wasn't that the most expensive music video of that era?
I think it was, because they had huge special effects in terms of makeup and everything. Why don't you ask him? He's on the line. Michael Jackson, good morning.
Oh.
Hi, how are you?
Oh, hi, Michael.
I love you. Thank you. I love you.
Michael, how do you feel about that remix? Because Sia says that it just ruins your original creation.
I don't like remixes, because even if I did them, they would usually be remixes that involved a member of my family who was less successful, like LaToya or Randy or Tito or Jermaine.
Exactly. Yeah.
Michael, you only really enjoyed working with Janet because she was successful. Isn't that true? I mean, you did some songs with
Janet
her.
Janet is my only real sister. The others are losers. That's why I'm voting for Donald Trump, because I like that when he calls people losers.
Donald, what?
I have a vote from heaven.
But
for Donald Trump. There were many times he would come to my concerts. He liked me, I liked him. And we both like really ugly gold interiors in our houses.
Oh, I see where the comment.
Golden taps.
Right.
And golden floors.
Yeah.
And golden pillars and golden ceilings and paintings on the walls.
Did you hear about your father and Blu-ray Records? I mean, I don't really know how well his business is doing, but...
You bring up my father. I actually based the Thriller music video on my father.
How's that?
Well, because I always felt like I was being chased by him, like I was being chased by zombies in the music video.
Oh, I see.
And they were always telling me to move the bricks from one side of the yard to the other side of the yard with my brothers.
Right. Painful memory for you, then.
I'm getting through it, though. I've been in counseling.
In heaven.
Yeah, with Maya Angelou.
Yes, of course.
She's been counseling me.
Right.
And she's amazing. She's such a powerful woman. I love her. She's amazing.
Michael, have you bumped into... what's the name of that guy? David. David Bowie. Have you
David
bumped into...
David Bowie. We're such good friends. And sometimes we both will dress up in military uniforms or in androgynous clothing. Uh-huh. And sometimes David Bowie will come over and visit me in my house, and I'll go to his house, and sometimes we will sleep in the same bed.
Oh, you guys have property in on that side?
Well, we don't own it. We rent it from God.
Okay.
And depending on how much God likes, you get good properties or bad ones.
Okay, all right. Mm.
For example, there's a lot of priests up here who've got very big houses.
Oh.
And there's a lot of priests who've got very small houses.
Okay. Well, thank you, Michael.
I gotta go. Thank you. I love you.
We love you too. Bye, Michael.
Wow.
Sure.
It's always nice to check in with him.
Yeah.
He hasn't spoken to us in a long time.
No. We miss him.
At least it wasn't Joseph. He's still going strong, huh?
Him and Blu-ray Records.
Yes, it's that guy. All right, let's get stuck into some news. I don't see why not. It's time for the news with Mabale Moloi. Let's find out all about the stories that we need to know to start our weekends informed and ready. Uh, Just before you start, Mubs, apparently, according to Color, Billions is on a production break, and those people are assholes, according to him, because he can't wait for the next episode. Thanks for the tip on vinyl, though. It rocks. What a great show. Oh, I got into such a discussion with Randall about it yesterday at Idols.
Does he like it?
He loves it, because you know what Randall's doing? He's watching to see which turntables they use to see how authentic the show is, how true to history it is.
Oh, my goodness.
So he recognized a turntable in the background during the scene with the one record bus. And he's like, oh, that's exactly the Empire turntable they would have had. That's the best of its kind at that time. This is such a good show. Now he's in love with the show because they used the right fucking turntable. Can you believe this? The guy's obsessed. Did I tell you that he called me the other day and said to me, oh, I hear you're going to Texas. So I said, yeah. Can you bring me 6 CDs? So I said, sure. He's already ordered them from Amazon and they're going to be delivered to my hotel while I'm there.
Shit.
6 CDs that he needs badly. The guy is obsessed with music. People don't even understand. He's obsessed with sound and he's obsessed with music to an unhealthy degree.
And he knows a lot about industry, doesn't he?
He tells me vinyl would have been made into a movie, but they decided that there was more merit in stretching it out and turning it into a TV series because there's so many different things that could have happened. It would have been a very long movie. And Mick Jagger's been planning this for like 10 years.
Hmm.
He knew everything. Everything. He loves this movie. And Carla says, vinyl is like Californication meets Empire meets Shameless. Wow.
It's like a perfect combination.
Yeah. You've got the drugs, you've got the sex.
Have you watched it yet?
You've got the corruption. I started watching the first episode because the first episode is like a movie.
It's 2 hours.
On its own.
It's
so
hectic.
But I haven't finished watching it. But yes, I'm very excited to watch this one. Mm,
very good. It's a great show. So if you aren't watching it, you need to get onto this so that you don't get left behind. And when we talk about it, it doesn't drive you mad. Bruce says, morning, guys. Another brilliant series to watch out for is 11/22/63, based on a Stephen King novel. Okay. And can we get Michael Tellinger in? Because you'd love... This is Bruce. We'd love to hear his opinion on... or our opinion on his work. Michael Tellinger is the guy who has written a whole lot of kind of... I suppose you could call them sci-fi theories or conspiracy theories about stuff. I think. Am I right? Bruce, I'm not exactly familiar. All right, what else have we got?
So the question of the day is, what next for Oscar Pistorius?
Oh, this is big news. This broke yesterday evening, right?
This broke yesterday evening, where South Africa's Constitutional Court rejected Oscar Pistorius's right to appeal.
You knew!
I didn't. I really didn't. Mubs. I found out just like everybody else did yesterday.
You knew.
I did not. So the Constitutional Court rejected Pistorius' right to appeal against his conviction yesterday. Basically, the Constitutional Court did not believe that Oscar would be successful if he appealed his murder conviction. Now, this I find interesting because, you know, with the law and legalese, I get very confused. So the Constitutional Court can decide that you are not going to be successful and therefore you shouldn't even bother with the process?
I did not find that reason.
Let it be witnesses. Emotional, maybe take adjournment.
Yeah, what happens is that they have to decide whether you deserve an appeal.
Yes, because up until this point, Oscar just, he asked for the right to appeal and they said, well, eh.
You imagine.
It's going to be a waste of time, so don't even bother.
If you just keep appealing and appealing and appealing, it'll never end. So the courts have to decide, hang on, there's reason for this to come before us at the Constitutional Court. They looked at it and they said, no, this is a straightforward case of murder or culpable homicide, depending on what side you're on. But neither of those make it a human rights issue or a constitutional issue. Tough titties, Oscar.
Yeah.
You have to go back to Judge Masipa.
Yes.
And she will decide how to sentence you. Full stop. On the charge of murder.
On the charge of murder. So now we can officially call it murder. He murdered Reva. That's what's been decided.
Oh my God, that's crazy.
Because, you know, technically speaking, we couldn't say he murdered her. It was culpable homicide. It was like all these other things. But now it's murder. So it was based on this that the highest court in the land dismissed the former Paralympian's application for leave to appeal the Supreme Court's decision.
Yeah.
And so he goes back to Judge Masipa for his sentencing on April the 18th. Now, can we just talk about the, like, how this has potentially messed up Oscar? Because he went in, then he came out, and now he knows that he's going to go back in again. I mean, psychologically and mentally, that must do a number on a person. I don't care who you are.
Oh, hugely. I think it would screw with your head totally.
He faces a minimum of 15 years in jail for murder.
Oh, wow.
Unless he provides substantial and compelling reasons to deviate from this prescribed sentence.
You know, can you imagine he was thinking, I'm out of prison now, because he's sitting in Uncle Arnold's Abbey.
Yeah.
Right? And he's thinking, I'm out of prison, it's done, now I can sit under house arrest for a couple of years, it'll all be chilled. Now he's going to go back to the clangor.
For a minimum of 15 years. Oof.
Do you think he'll really stay those 15? Or is there a loophole that he can go
through?
There's
no loophole, but he could get out and parole if you're well behaved.
Yeah.
And, you know, if he plays up the whole I have no legs thing and everything else.
Now, is 15 years considered life, or is 20 years considered life?
Well, life is just a very long sentence.
Yeah.
Very few people end up actually being in there for the rest of their lives. But Radovan looks like he's got a pretty heavy sentence.
Yeah, 35 years he was given.
That's a long time.
Hmm.
Look, the point is, Oscar's going to jail. You don't just kill people. We should all remember that.
And this has proven it.
When you're hanging around in your house and you think there's someone in your bathroom, before you just go and kill them, you need to think about the consequences.
Will he be going to the same jail with the same conditions as last time?
Probably.
Because we've now seen inside that cell and we now know how he lives jail. Doesn't that compromise it?
How?
I don't know.
That's prison. What, do you think they're going to change it because we've seen it?
I don't know. I feel like it sort of compromises the place.
How?
Like, you can break him out. You know the layout now.
Who's going to break Oscar out? No, Flax, this is not a movie.
Yeah, this is not prison.
Yo, but look what happened with Radovan. What he was able to get in and that plot and stuff.
You can get anything you want in prison. That's how it works all over the world.
Mm.
Prison is... There's a whole economy in prison.
True.
You know, it's an ecosystem. And whether we've seen it or not makes no difference whatsoever. You think because Sia Sangweni Finn has seen the inside of Oscar's cell, suddenly Oscar's going to get broken up by Sia? I don't think so.
Also, if somebody was going to break out Oscar, it would likely be a prison guard that he pays, not us, because we've seen the layout.
And trust me, that prison guard knows how everything looks in there, right?
Yeah, he knows like the back of his hand. He works.
You knew!
Yes, well, all right.
Well, okay. Yeah. So 9 judges of the Concord were unanimous in this finding that there was no success on appealing his murder conviction. So April the 18th, he goes back to Judge Thokozile Masipa, who will then hand down his sentence.
Can you imagine how bored she is with him? All she's ever going to be known for is that she's the Oscar judge. This poor woman has spent her life trying to make a reputation for herself on the bench as a judge, and she's tried to make a reputation for herself in journalism before that. And what's she going to be remembered for? It'll say on a tombstone, the Oscar Pistorius judge.
Yeah.
Yes.
And some people are referring to her as the Oscar Pistorius judge who got it wrong.
Ugh.
Because you remember she was...
Uh-oh, I shit my diaper.
Oh. Odor in the court. Odor in the court.
Sometimes it's mostly diarrhea and mostly it's hard.
Oh. All right. Sorry, Judge Masipa.
What's going on here? I don't understand.
It's not the kind of court you'd normally think.
Odor in the court.
You like that?
Odor in the court.
Odor in the court. Huh?
You dumb bitch.
All right. Everybody calm down. It's a crazy Friday here. What's going on?
There's a lot that's just wrong with the world right now.
Yes.
Including, so a lot of people may think that Donald Trump is full of shit.
Yeah.
But it's another thing to really go out there and take that extra step. So a farmer in America is kind of gutful of Trump and really wants to send out the message. And so what other better way can you do it except spell out no Trump in manure? he took to his own land and he spent like the whole day spelling this out so that anyone who flies over it can basically see that Trump is full of shit. Now, I was sort of on this guy's bandwagon. I was like, yeah, you know, good for you being out there and speaking about things. But then he says, you know, the only reason he disagrees with Trump is because, quote, for example, if, you know, Trump were to build a wall at the US-Mexico border, quote, he says, my farm would shut down today if you removed my, then he stutters and he says, workforce. So basically, he's thinking about himself and the fact that, like, all the Mexicans would have to leave. I was just like, guy.
Oh, sure, of course.
I don't know, but that seems like, I feel like his whole case has sort of gone after that. But his wife is also in it as well, fully supportive of the fact that they've written this. And I think they actually have a good right to keep this message on there. And the picture's absolutely hilarious as well, the aerial view of their farm.
Did you see those creepy kids who sang that Donald Trump song for him at his rally? Oh, wow. Okay, let me play this for you. This is pretty. It's three little girls, and they're busy doing a dance. So they're kind of moving their shoulders up and down. And it's all with the Trump lectern in the front and Trump banners all over the back. And
cowardice. Are you serious? Apologies for freedom. I can't handle this. When freedom rings, answer the call. On your feet, stand up tall. Freedom's on our shoulders. USA! Enemies of freedom. Face the music. Come on, boys, take them down. President Donald Trump knows how to make America great. Deal from strength or get crushed every time.
What a horrible song.
Very strange.
What a horrible, horrible song.
And these are like 10-year-old girls, right?
Yeah, they are.
Freedom and liberty everywhere. Oh, say, can you see? It's not so easy. But we have to stand up tall and answer freedom's call.
Oh, wow. What a horrible, horrible song. What a terrible idea to have these little girls sing a song about Donald Trump. Ugh.
Politicians are all talk, no action.
Yep, here are some of Donald Trump's greatest insults. Are you ready? All right, let's go.
The politicians are going to destroy this country. They're weak and they're ineffective.
Tell us more, Donald, about politicians.
I watch as politicians are trying to claim that, and that's okay with me. You know, they're all talk, no action, so they won't do anything anyway, just so you understand. I've watched the politicians. I've dealt with them all my life. They will never make America great again. They don't even have a chance. They're controlled fully by the lobbyists, by the donors, and by the special interests. These politicians, they run and they run and they win, and sometimes they lose and they keep running. That's all they do is run. Most of them don't know what they're doing. They just run. I just hate to see when people don't have common sense, don't have an understanding of what's going on, or perhaps don't want to know. Maybe it's campaign contributions, maybe it's special interests, maybe it's lobbyists. But for some reason, some people don't get it, and I don't think they'll be in office much longer. I really mean that.
We have very stupid people in our country negotiating for us, and we have leaders that don't know what they're doing.
I respect Mexico, but their leaders are too smart for our leaders, because we have stupid leaders, okay?
You know, free trade, I believe in it. Totally. I'm a free trader. The problem with free trade is you need smart people on our side. When you don't have smart people, free trade is not a good thing. Free trade can be wonderful if you have smart people. But we have people that are stupid.
He repeats himself a lot, but he gets his message through, you know?
Oh, boy. And he always says the same thing. Everybody else is stupid, and he's
Yeah, he's the
great.
Only clever one, yeah. Right. Kala says, I'm so happy for Oscar and Radovan, who will now finally be, wait for it,
reunited.
Wow.
Feels so good.
Yes.
Reunited.
And apparently, according to Ole Bocheng, life is 25 years in prison. And you get the opportunity to have parole after 25 years. Not before. So there we go. They can be neighbors in prison, Radovan and Oscar, and they can play soccer together. There we go.
Very, what a happy story. Happy ending for both of them that they can get to spend their present time together. All right, what else is in the news?
Okay, well, we were talking about Donald Trump, and then Sia mentioned that guy who spelled out no Trump in manure. There is a flight student who is originally from Egypt but studying in the United States who is now facing deportation from the country after being investigated by federal agents for posting on her Facebook page that he was willing to kill Donald Trump. Oy. And that the world would thank him for it.
When are people going to learn that if you threaten to kill someone in social media, it's like threatening to kill them in person? It's very serious.
While U.S. prosecutors have not charged 23-year-old Emaldeldin El Sayed with a crime, immigration authorities arrested him at the Los Angeles area flight school where he attends, and they're now trying to deport him. He's being held.
Well, first of all, he should be arrested. We don't want any people from the Middle East at flight schools. Are you kidding me?
Well, you see, this is, I mean, this is part of the reason why.
Emaldeldin
El Sayed should not have posted such on social media. Yeah. It's because they,
you moron.
Because there is a bias against, you know.
A bias?
There is,
a
Gareth.
A bias?
This was some.
Are you kidding me? If I get into a plane and the pilot goes, hello, this is Maktoum Al Sheikh Fing Taham Halara Mahal Il Khbartak, I'm out of there.
There is a generalization, that gets made because you're from the Middle East. This is how the real world works. So he is being held in a jail in Orange, California. He says that he is devastated at the prospect of him being deported because he says, oh, come on, this was a foolish social media post. Obviously, I wouldn't have gone and killed Donald Trump.
Too late.
But now he is genuinely facing deportation.
You can't go on social media and threaten to kill someone. That's a very serious thing. Did you see, by the way, what Tux University said?
Yes.
Did you cover this in the news already?
I didn't, but I was actually going to bring this up. But well, you go ahead. Because
while we're talking about social media and not saying and doing stupid stuff, that university said that they will be scouring the social media pages, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. They will be looking for comments from students who threaten and incite violence.
Wow.
From students who support, like, comment on.
Or who get tagged
or
in.
Or get tagged in any of these kinds of tweets or Facebook updates. And they will take disciplinary action at the university.
Well, they say that you can be expelled. Oh,
sure. So they're very serious about this. If you're a student at Tux, you get involved in any of the stuff on social media, you're out of there.
So what are we saying here? I mean, if I get tagged in a post that incites violence, I have no control over the fact that somebody tagged me in that. But are you going to expel me as a university?
You got
to
get in. Here's what you do. You immediately remove your tag because you'll get a notification that you've been tagged, and you remove it as quickly as you can. And if the university call you up and say, hey, we saw that you were tagged in this thing, you go to them and you say, listen, someone tagged me. It's not my fault. This is what happened. And they shouldn't be able to really hold you responsible. But if you're the person who tagged Mabali, you could be in a lot of trouble too. Like, why are you dragging her into this? She's busy studying medical microbiology. Leave her alone. You know?
You should go look at your Facebook settings. There's certain settings that you can do that. Someone tags you, it doesn't get tagged unless you accept it on your side. So do things like that. Even for photos,
you have
to accept it. I've got that. If someone tags something of me, I have to accept it for it to go on my wall.
Right, me too. Yeah, you can't tag me and stuff unless I give you the yes.
Oh, okay, that's useful. I did not know that.
You could actually remove the tag yourself before it even goes up.
Yeah.
Now, some students have said that they're angry about this warning, saying that they don't feel that they should be dictated to on how to use their social media profiles. One student was quoted as saying, they're out of order now. This is nonsense. But according to the university spokesperson, she said that the statement was to remind students of their responsibilities. Mm-hmm. It is to make students aware that they must be careful of what they post on social media because the university can take action against them. And let's also remember that your place of employment does the same thing.
Yeah. Welcome to the real world, kids.
You're going to be the 21st century.
Well, this is the real world where you have responsibilities attached to the things you say and think and do.
So are we okay with this? I mean, does it even matter if we're okay with it? Because this is what the rule is.
I don't love it because to me it will in some ways quell a freedom of expression, which is not a bad thing. But in other ways, if you're going to incite violence and you're going to cause trouble and it's going to get in the way of other students. Again, I read a fascinating article just yesterday morning by Prof. Janssen of Free State University, which I urge everybody to look at, where he says the real problem is that our institutions of higher learning are losing their credibility in the international community. And if you don't attract the best students and you can't attract great scholars from all over the world to come and do their doctorates there or whatever, the whole reputation of the university declines, and then all those degrees that you send out are worthless. You need to have people doing research papers. You need to have people who are at the top of their game. And he said it's very difficult to attract those people when they can't sit quietly and study, or they can't work on an experiment, or they can't do any kind of thorough intellectual investigation of a certain thing because the building's on fire. Those people are just going to go to another university. They don't have to be at the university where the trouble's going, right?
Mm.
So he said if you lose those doctorate those top students, you lose everything.
You know, I was listening to an interview a couple of days ago, and I can't remember who this woman being interviewed is.
You knew!
She recounted how that university in Mafikeng came to be. Hmm. And it actually involved the entire community making donations towards this university and towards building it. So the community there got involved physically. Some people, you know, gave up money. And she was just saying that it completely destroyed her to see buildings being set alight, considering how much work was put into building this university by the members of that very community.
Yeah. And now it's gone. You know? So it's basically no one can use that university. And they're going to have to rebuild it. And where do you think that money's going to come from? That's going to have to come from us, the taxpayer. There's no other source. They can't afford to get out there and fundraise. There isn't even what are they fundraising for? They've got a burnt out shell at the moment. It's a big problem. It's a really, really big problem. And I don't know whether this is something that people are taking seriously enough. If the university is going to put into place policies that mean that you get into serious trouble and there are serious consequences for getting involved in violence on campus, then so be it. If it allows people to study, if it allows people to keep doing what they need to do, and it keeps our institutions of higher learning as exactly that, places of higher learning, rather than just places of revolution, then that's probably a good thing. I don't think it's too much to ask. All right, but anyway, I digress because that wasn't what you were talking about.
Oh, no. Well, what? Oh, yeah, we were talking about that. That guy in who is from Egypt but studying at the flight school in the U.S.
Threatened to kill
his
Trump.
His Facebook post. So you see, these kinds of things will get you into trouble. Okay, let's bring it back home, closer to home, and talk about this coming weekend. So tomorrow, the 5th, and Sunday, the 6th of March, you can go and register to vote for this year's municipal elections.
Hmm.
Okay. Now, the EFF...
Yeah. What have they done?
The EFF's commander-in-chief had his birthday yesterday, Gareth. Julius Malema turned 35. What would make a perfect birthday gift for the EFF's commander-in-chief?
Registrations of voters for the EFF.
That is exactly what was said by the party spokesperson Mbuyise Ndlozi. According to the party, the best way to celebrate Julius Malema is for you to go out and register to vote this weekend for the local government elections.
Sure.
Sure. Now, let me give you some statistics. 9 million of us who are eligible to vote in this country are not registered. At least 9 million South Africans who are eligible to vote are not registered, according to the Electoral Commission of South Africa. That's the IEC.
Yeah.
The IEC hope that at least 1 million people will go out and register to vote over this weekend. Almost one in three unregistered voters live in Gauteng. Based on the latest voting age population estimates, which were provided by Statistics South Africa, there are currently approximately 34 million South Africans of voting age.
Mm-hmm.
Now, of that 9 million who are not registered to vote, the majority of them are millennials. These are people aged between the ages of 18 to 29. That's the majority of them who are not registered to vote. They're just not interested. Sia Flex, Sia, are you people voting this
year?
Yeah,
come on. Answer your boss, Mabali.
I have to be honest. I actually did know from the 5th and the 6th. So I think somewhere during the weekend I will make
But you're
effort.
Not registered yet?
No, okay. Not registered
well,
yet.
Well, this will be your first election.
I've voted nationally before. I haven't voted regionally before.
Okay, so do you think you will be voting this year?
Yeah.
Do you plan to?
Yeah.
Flex. I don't know who I'm voting for.
I don't know who I'm voting for either.
I'm 100% voting this year. At the moment, I'm in decisions if I want to register closer to my work or closer to my home.
You have to vote. You have to vote closest to your home, not where you work.
Where you live.
Really?
No. Yes.
But closer to my new home or my old home?
No, you've got to go there. You've got to go there with a proof of register. Just tell them what they need to have there. You need to have your ID.
Uh-huh.
You need to have proof of residence.
What happens
area?
If you don't have that?
You have to have it. It's like when you apply for a cell phone contract, you have it.
One
what do you
house
mean if you
is
don't?
In my mom's name, others in my girlfriend's.
No, you got to take an electricity bill and you got to say that this is my mother.
Because I remember the reason why I couldn't vote regionally was because I just moved from Durban and I was still listed under our property in Durban. So hence why I couldn't vote.
That is why you need to register.
Yeah.
So that you can vote this year.
Hey, so just those two, ID and proof of electricity or something like that.
Is that all you need, Mubs?
Let me go onto the IEC website to see exactly what you need and then I'll let you know.
Why are you making Mabali do all the work for you?
Well, I mean,
Flex, get onto the IEC's website.
Yeah, we just need to be sure that we're giving out the right information. But I mean, you can log on to the IEC website and.
What is it? IEC.org.za?
Elections.org.
Elections.org.za.
All right, got you.
And you can get all the information that you need there.
Go and take a look. But you know what? Register to vote. I don't care if you don't decide to vote, but register to vote because you may change your mind somewhere along the way and you don't want to have missed out on the opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
That's all. I know people who don't vote at all. That's their stand. They won't participate because they don't believe in the system. You could do that.
What does it mean to not believe in the system?
You're not into democracy.
Okay.
You think democracy is a shitty system? Maybe you'd prefer a dictatorship or an anarchy? There are lots of people like
that. And then you also find some people who say, oh, well, it's a waste of time because the results are always the same. So it's a complete waste of time
well,
to go
in. Well, I feel like that's more reason to vote.
Yeah, I know.
Hey, be a strong opposition then.
I used to be very hardcore about the fact that everybody should vote and everybody should take part in elections. I've come to realize that that's like forcing someone to drink water when they don't want to drink water. You gotta let people do what they want to do.
Yeah,
but I will vote. I just don't know who for. And that's the tough part, because I look at these parties, I'm not so sure any of them really have my interests at heart. They all talk so much shit. I know I'm not voting for COPE again. I got burnt once. I know I'm not voting for the Vryheidsfront Plus. And I know I'm not voting for Agang.
I don't think
will
you
they
can.
Be on the ballot paper?
No.
I don't know. But what am I left with? I'm left with EFF, DA, ANC, UDM. That's it. IFP?
I don't know. Do they? I don't know.
Man, they did try to legalize weed.
Oh, did they?
Well, that guy Mario Ambrosini, remember who died of cancer? He tried to get it.
Oh, yes, I remember that guy.
He tried to get medical marijuana allowed, and he didn't.
Have the Dacha Party tried to do that? Because they don't.
I think they finished.
Oh.
I think they ran out of funds. They smoked it all up. It's done. They just had one big joint. Their final meeting, the Dacha Party's final meeting, was just one enormous joint the size of someone's arm. And they all took a huge drag and they passed out, and that was the end of the Dacha Party. But how do you even decide who to vote for? I've listened to a lot of these politicians talk, and like Donald Trump says, I can't believe I'm quoting him, but politicians are all talk and no action.
It's tricky to do because I had a conversation with a guy once who said, I'm basing my vote on the numbers game, because if I'm going to say that I'm sick and tired of the ANC, then I must try and take numbers away from them. So yeah, for that reason, he voted for a particular party. But then most of us base our votes on emotional reasons, you know.
Yeah.
I hate Helen Zille, or I hate Julius Malema, or I hate Jacob Zuma, therefore I won't vote A, B, C, or D.
If you hate someone and that's the reason you're voting for someone else, that's just stupid.
I think a lot of us vote according to those emotional
lines. We've got you. I read such an interesting article yesterday. I'm going to see if I can't find it for you, because that is, it's just like a totally different point of view about this whole thing. Let me see if I can't find it and just read you a little bit of it, because it was fascinating. I was reading it on the way home from Idols last night. And this dude said, why are black people trusting a party shielding thieves to improve their lives? Siya Kumalo. And he wrote this originally, I think, for The Star. But here's what he said that I thought was really interesting. Voting is free. You might not get to decide which school you go to, the circumstances that you'll grow up in, or how those impact subsequent life choices. But none of these pressures exist in the voting booth when it is you and the ballot sheet. There, you can do something, however small, to change your circumstances. A good mind might be deprived of an education. A talent might be denied expression. A good person might be kept away from opportunities. But the voting booth is the one place where there is no barrier between the sharp mind and a tactical political decision. By voting ANC, and obviously he's speaking only to black people here because he says quite clearly he's not that interested in white people's interests. He says, by voting ANC, black people have trusted a party shielding thieves to improve their lives. Only so much good can come of that choice. And in the article, he basically says that all the bad things that government have done, from Marikana to all the corruption, to Nkandla, to everything else associated with it, is the fault of people who vote ANC. Not just the ANC, but the people who vote for them. And that blood is on your hands as well. And then he ends it off by saying, it's not the people's job to fix government. It's government's job to fix itself. And people's job to pay taxes to a functioning government. As for what the government has gotten right, we hold people in private sector to a higher standard, but even they are not guaranteed jobs or a thank you. Dear black people, voting tactfully, whatever that means for you, will not be a betrayal of the struggle, a surrender to white supremacy, or any of the things you fear it might be. Voting ANC, on the other hand, comes with no such promise. Heavy, huh?
Yeah, you see, this is why I say that a lot of us vote according to these emotional lines, because you do find a lot of black people who say, well, I'll never vote for DA because they're white and that's just not going to happen. So now you have a lot of people who say, okay, yeah, well, then screw the ANC. Now I'm going to put my vote towards the EFF. But then on the opposite side of the fence, you also have those white people who say, well, the only reason I keep voting DA is because I can't vote EFF or ANC because those are black parties. Like,
I wish we didn't have our history.
We are completely screwed
it's
up.
It's kind of like you're in love with a woman, but she's got so much baggage.
But the love just
you
keeps
love
you there
her.
And you
yeah,
need
you
to
love
deal
her,
with it.
You want to help her, but she was raised by monsters and she's had a horrible childhood, and you know, now this is how it feels being South African. You're always married to your past, and your past has got major, major problems.
So we basically all need therapy.
Yes. Yes, absolutely. I've advocated this from the start. We all need to get around a big campfire and tell our stories and actually empathize with each other, listen to each other, get it off our chests, try to figure out a way forward, heal.
Yeah.
And then make it about tomorrow.
Well, at this point, fire isn't exactly the safest element for our angry citizens.
Yeah, you're right, actually. Good point. Well put. Anyway, this is a very interesting story. If you want to go and read it, it's Siya Kumalo, Why Are Black People Trusting a Party Shielding Thieves to Improve Their Lives? That's what the article's entitled. All right?
Okay.
Anyway, while we're talking about voting.
All right, let's talk about traveling, shall we?
Yeah, because that's much nicer.
Emirates have done something that they promised they would do a couple of months ago.
Yes.
They have successfully completed the world's longest non-stop commercial flight by distance.
Hmm.
It happened between Dubai and New Zealand. An Airbus 380, the world's largest passenger plane, left Dubai and touched down in Auckland after traversing 14,200 kilometers. That's a 17-hour-long flight.
Wow.
Non-stop. 17 hours and 15 minutes on the stretch from Auckland back to Dubai. Emirates claims it's a more fuel-efficient way to complete the journey, as well as being the quickest. Emirates will be using flexible routes, which can vary by day, taking advantage of tailwinds and avoiding headwinds to reduce the time in the air. The flight is scheduled daily. This is impressive. The new flight shaves 3 hours from Emirates' existing services that include a stopover in Australia. It is a double-decker A380. It's very fancy. I mean, I don't think that just anybody can afford this ticket. It's very fancy.
To New
stuff.
Zealand? It's not like just billionaires going to New Zealand, trust me.
Dubai.
They better bring that price right down.
Dubai to New Zealand. To help you get through those uninterrupted layover-free hours, Emirates assures that gourmet meals and fine wines are on offer. They've also got more than 2,000 channels of entertainment on board. Emirates was poised to break another record when it announced daily service between Dubai and Panama City would begin on February the 1st. So this is now the world's longest flight that is done at one go. So the question is, do you think it's better to spend 17 hours on a plane, or would you rather have the stopover where you at least get off, you get to use your legs, you walk around, and then you catch the next one?
Nah, I want to get there quickly. I like a straightforward non-stop.
One way, yeah.
I hate that when they have to stop you. There used to be this flight to New York where you would stop in Dakar in Senegal. But they wouldn't let you off the plane. So it's 3 a.m. They wake you up. You have to get up. And everybody's wandering around the cabin. And then these... I don't know. It's just don't stop. Let's keep moving.
Yeah.
See, just for sanity reasons, I would say a layover is always good. I am trying to find this article, but this flight attendant, now that she's retired, released an article about the realities of what happens in flights. So, for example, the coffee that they serve on the plane. She says, if you can, probably stay away from that because the coffee is made from water, which is stored in these huge tanks.
Yeah.
And logic says you can't really reach all the proper nook and crannies to clean that tank well.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, so there are probably a lot of germs in that.
Yeah, but that's like any kitchen restaurant as well.
Oh, no.
Yes, yes. No.
Another
yes.
thing she pointed out was a lot of people actually die on planes, and you will travel for hours on end with a dead person next to you because you think they're sleeping.
Of course.
And they just realize.
If somebody died next to you, they would move him away and store him somewhere.
And I would be grateful for the extra space, frankly. And a dead person doesn't move around or fart or carry on, you know?
They're not going to leave a corpse next to you over 17 hours. They would remove him.
I'm putting it on the record. I don't mind. I'd rather have a corpse than an actual person sitting next to me. That's how much I dislike living people.
Oh, my gosh. You're insane.
Yeah.
Oh, no, thank you.
By the way, we've got to get to our Kolkakio Hotbox Countdown for this morning. Do you want to do that now?
Sure.
All right. You asked for it. You can have anything you want. You can have whatever you like. Yeah.
Oh, video. I was thinking of any way you want it. That's the way you need it. Any way you want it. It's time for Carl. Kaki OP. Zuria Hotbox. Okay, that's it.
That's nice. I want you to record that as a proper song.
Should you start something here?
What is that again?
Journey.
It's Journey, right? Yeah. Any way you want it. I want to play that song just now.
It's actually a good song.
It's a lovely song. Damn it, I'm going to play that just now. First things first, though. The Video Hotbox Countdown is brought to you by Kolkakio Pizzeria. They've been satisfying your craving for over 23 years with their Italian-inspired artisanal food. With pizzas, salads, and desserts freshly prepared for each order, there are no shortcuts. To enjoy a slice of the goodness, visit your nearest store or order online at kolkakio.co.za. Kolkakio Pizzeria, they are the reason you crave pizza. I got an email from a dude called Monet who said... He's heard about Colcacchio Pizzeria from us. It's the first time he's heard about it, and he heard about those salads and those pizzas that we always talked about, and he went and tried it out, and he said it was an orgasmic taste explosion.
Fantastic. Oh,
yeah. Yeah. Flax, you don't have that email. Remember I told you we were going to try and get hold of him?
Yes, I got hold of him. He's a bit too shy.
That's okay. But I basically paraphrased him about right, huh?
Yeah.
That's more or less what he said. So, Mubs, let's start off with, in our video hotbox countdown, we'll start with Suzelle DIY. You know, one of our favorite guests here on cliffcentral.com. She's got her own internet TV show where she helps people with DIY solutions. Here is Suzelle. How to make a DIY aircon. You know, because it's been so hot. She's sitting there with a spray bottle.
I know what you're thinking. Suzelle, what are you doing? Covered in wet lapis. Because of the heat wave, guys. I actually can't do it. I'm at the boiling point. So, today I'm going to show you how to make your own DIY aircon. So let's get started, guys. You will need an old cooler box, an elbow pipe, a small fan, mine solo powered, my old ice cream containers for ice, a drill, and a jigsaw. Fill your container with water to make big ice blockies and pop it in the freezer.
All right. It's quite useful, actually. I'm going to try and make one of these because I refuse to have an aircon.
Place around your pipe and your fan. Start by drilling some pilot holes. Cut out your holes. Holy moly. Okay, that one's a little bit rustic. Doesn't matter. Don't judge the holes. Get slow with a jigsaw. Go with the motions. Pop your plumbing pipe in place. And secure it with duct tape. And your fan. Time for the ice. And there you have it. Your very own homemade aircon. Who needs technology? DIY, because anybody can keep cool in a heat wave.
Isn't that cool?
She's great, eh?
She'll help you to build an aircon. Ben Affleck snuck up on Matt Damon in a video. Listen to this.
Please welcome Ben Affleck.
This is from Jimmy Kimmel Live. He walks on in a fat suit, which I don't understand. Maybe he'll explain it.
You look healthy.
Well, you know, you do the superhero movie and so you get muscle and then your muscle turns to fat, you know. You're
Wow, I mean, really?
I'm on an off cycle.
Yeah, no, I mean, no offense. I really don't mean to put you in an uncomfortable position, but you really ballooned up.
Thanks. I didn't think this was going to be about body shaming tonight.
What is going on here?
Thanks. But
what do you got, a monkey under there or something? What's happening here? What is going on here? It's moving.
No, it's not.
What the hell is going on here? What is this?
Why are you touching me?
Well, I'm not touching you.
Matt Damon. Matt Damon's actually in the suit. Oh. That's what's in the suit. It's Matt Damon inside the suit. Sorry. And he looks pretty hot and bothered. But these two are so close. I mean, you know, I wouldn't let another guy into a suit with me, for example. You'd have to be really, really good friends with someone. These two should just get married and be the first straight couple to get married.
They are the definition of a bromance.
Yeah.
I want everyone to sit down. Nobody, no clapping. Yeah.
All right.
This is the, you know what? I'm upset with you more than him about this.
I think it's maybe time to bury the hatchet here, man.
Who you get to decide when it's time to bury the hatchet? You know what he's done to me?
I think as a mutual friend, it's time to, you know, to...
This is not about you. This is about, well, there is no us. It's not about us.
Matt, have a seat. Come on, sit
no,
down.
No, don't have a seat. That's my seat. I don't want him to sit. Not technically the guest chair.
All right, anyway, you can go see that. It's kind of cute, and Kimmel's got some problem with Matt Damon, and Affleck helps sort it out. Yeah, everybody's got a story. There's also, listen, this is quite cool. Flax told me about this, and you can go and see all of these videos. If you're confused and you want to see the video, the visuals rather than just the sound, then all you need to do is head on over to cliffcentral.com. Rock stars or cricket stars is what this is called. Do you want to hear what that is? It's Protea Fire, Fireball. They've got our cricket team in a music video. And they got AB singing and all the other dudes. And it's quite cute. And some of them actually sing. That's quite cute. That's our Protea cricket team with Fireball. By the way, AB de Villiers, you know he once sang songs. He actually had music videos out and everything else. You know about that, right?
I forgot.
You didn't?
I forgot.
Yeah, well, I'll remind you. I'm going to find his song. He actually wrote a couple of songs. He put out a whole album. Okay. Mark Yo Drome Var. Do you want to hear it? Listen to this. For real. This is... AB de Villiers, Ampi de Prayer, Mark Yo Drome Var. This is the captain of the project. That's AB. Alright, I've heard enough. How about you?
You wouldn't expect a voice like that to come out of him.
AB? Yeah, you're right. Okay, here's Ocean View Buskers. You know these buskers who they play music on the street corner and that kind of thing?
Mm.
All right, take a listen. Tell me what you think of this. Because this is really more about sound than it is about the visual. Take a look. This is in the Cape, by the way, so it's South African. It's gonna feel real good. Gonna make it right. I'm gonna make it right. Good singing. And these guys are like next to a railway station in the Cape, and they're just doing their thing, which is kind of cool. And there's also a toddler who's a sniper. This should worry people, but the kid comes out of the house. He's got a little pillow.
Wow.
He smashes his dad with a pillow and then runs away.
Whoa.
But he's like a sniper. People love watching kids in these videos.
They're cute.
And people post their kids all the time too. So there we go. Those are a couple of the videos you could see in the Col Cacio Pizzeria Hot Box Video Countdown, brought to you every Friday. They are satisfying your craving for over 23 years of their Italian-inspired artisanal food with pizzas, salads, and desserts freshly prepared for each order. There are no shortcuts to enjoy a slice of the goodness. And if you're looking for somewhere to go tonight with someone special, go down to Col Cacio Pizzeria. There's one near you. And you can order online at colcacio.co.za. Col Cacio Pizzeria. They're the reason you crave pizza. A couple of messages. I've seen a whole lot of messages. For some reason, they've all just suddenly come through. Can I go through these?
I think you should.
Kevin says, I can't believe Oscar's not started with his sentence already. Bruce says, DNA of the Gods is the boom you're referring to, but more importantly, his work on Ubuntu contributionalism and the run-up to the local elections. Well, Bruce is talking about that Michael Tellinger that he mentioned earlier. Then Mandy says, morning, guys. My phone was in the boot, so I attempted to put on the radio. After just 4 minutes, I said out loud, shut the fuck up. I pulled off the road with my hazards to stop and get my phone out of the boot. Good Lord. That 5 minutes almost caused a brain vessel to burst.
Oh, dear.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Thank fuck, she says, for you guys. Well, Mandy, you got to calm down.
Thank you for you, Mandy.
We love you, Mandy, but you're gonna burst that blood vessel with or without us. Just everybody calm down. Mike says, can I still vote if I miss registration this weekend? I'm going away. There is another registration period, apparently.
Yeah, they will make another one available, I'm sure, closer to the to voting time.
But don't come with your excuses, Mike. Carla says, don't kid yourself. We all have to vote against the ANC. That would be a great movement. Just vote not ANC. I don't care what you vote for. He said, even vote none of the above. But just don't vote for them. Andre says, didn't you say the one show that the first party who comes to the show will get your vote, and just after that, the new candidate for the DA in Joburg came to the studio? I might have said something stupid like that, but I'm not going to throw my vote away for the first person who comes to the studio. Jonathan Witt says, and by the way, Jonathan Witt and Roman Kabanak have got an amazing new podcast on cliffcentral.com, which you can go and find. It's called The Renegade Report. Right, Sia? What's the best way to find that on the app, Sia? Help me figure this out.
So, let's talk and walk through it.
Okay.
Go onto the Cliff Central app.
Because a lot of people might want to hear, you know, these guys are like the anti-Andrew and Rory.
Oh.
So you got Andrew and Rory with their point of view, and then you've got Roman and Jonathan with their point of view. But let me read his message while Sia gets this ready for us. It's a local government election. Vote for the party you believe would most efficiently keep water and electricity running to your house and the traffic lights functioning on your way to work. That's all.
Hmm.
Suppose that makes sense.
Oh, yeah.
Actually, what are you doing? Don't help the party. Help yourself. Carl says, Mubs, they do leave the corpse next to you on a plane.
Why?
This is what I was talking about.
They just cover his or her head with a blanket. No lies. I heard there is nowhere to store them on the flight if the flight is full.
Still want that 17-hour flight?
Ankia says, on a flight back from Sydney, an old lady died after a doctor on the plane tried to save her. They moved everyone forward and wrapped her in blankets on the back middle seats. We were sitting next to her, just two seats forward against the window. It freaked me out so much. We were still 4 hours from Joburg. How dare she die on the plane?
No, man. They must make room for these kinds of things if they happen as often as they do.
I thought they could. Couldn't they just open a hatch and drop them into the baggage compartment? Just open up the floor and drop them in there.
If people are dying on planes as often as they are, they should make room for that eventuality.
You'd think.
Where you're not having to sit two seats away from a corpse.
I said to you that you put them next to me. I have no problem. As long as they're still quite fresh.
I read today that they still keep ashtrays in the bathrooms in airplanes.
Yeah.
Because some people still, like, go against the law and they'll smoke in the bathrooms, and they rather want them to put it in the ashtray than the bin where it starts another fire.
Oy vey, really?
They've even had to put fire extinguishers in the bin, so if a fire starts there, it just gets fumigated straight away.
Are you allowed to smoke one of those e-cigarettes on a plane?
No, they even say the smoke detectors, they've had to improve them to be so sensitive that even e-cigs set them off.
Wow. Carl says, store the corpse in the overhead storage. Just be very careful when you open it up, because items may have shifted during the flight. Anushka wants to know, Flax, she saw your Snapchat. Are you a DJ yet, and where can she book you?
Oh, I am a DJ.
Yeah.
Just email mike@cliffcentral.com.
Right.
Another thing I read about planes, which is pretty fascinating, the reason why you land and take off with your blinds up and up is
up and up.
No, with your blinds up is because if there is a crash, they don't want you to be disorientated by light. That's the reason.
Really?
That you don't waste time trying to get your eyes, what's it called?
Like acclimatized?
Yeah, your eyes sort of fixed to the light.
Well, I don't know what that is. Maybe
I swear to God, that's the real truth.
It sounds as good as any theory. I don't have a better one.
Okay.
All right, let's do this. This is how you get the podcast-only shows.
Very simple.
There are a lot of shows that we're doing and are going to do. We're going to be doing shows on everything here eventually. There'll be a show for you no matter how crazy your interest is. You could be the only person interested in elephant polo, and we will eventually have a show for you here on cliffcentral.com. Even if there are 10 people who care about it, those 10 people care about elephant polo more than anything else. So it's perfect. You understand?
Yeah.
All right, the Renegade Report.
Very simple, very self-explanatory. You go into the Cliff Central app, and there's side column of options that pops up as well.
Yes.
You click on Browse Podcasts.
Got you.
And so it gives you a whole show lineup, right?
Okay.
Monday right through Friday.
Mm-hmm.
But because these are podcast only, all you have to go is tap on More.
Got you.
And all your options are there. You scroll down a bit, and there it is.
There it is. The Renegade Report. Look at that.
And everything else as well. If you want to catch up on Rich Mulholland with the Reality Check, Justice Malala on his own, Internet Central.
I've got something important to tell you.
CliffCentral.com.
Wow, they've got theme music and everything.
Very intense.
I actually listened to this yesterday. It's pretty good. So go and take a listen to our new podcast show, Renegade Report. You can find it on the Cliff Central app, or you can go to cliffcentral.com, where you can search for anything you want. Right, Mubs?
That's right.
Okay.
Folks, can I quickly get this off my chest?
That sounds good.
Well, it's actually kind of very freaky. There's this new trend that's rising in China, and I just, I personally don't understand it. It's called a ghost marriage. There are certain families who believe that a bachelor cannot be buried on his own when he's dead.
Oh, no.
So the families are now paying to get different corpses exhumed. These are female corpses exhumed and reburied next to this bachelor. Because when you go into the afterworld, you cannot go in there alone. And
you're
so,
going to go in with a stranger. How does that help?
But you came into this world on your own.
That's ridiculous.
No. So police have now said in the past 3 years alone, they've had to investigate 36 different cases of these corpse brides. And more than that, there are now people who are actually selling off their dead family members to get money off it. I just feel like culture is one thing, but then when it just borders on the freaky side, I don't understand.
But okay, I don't understand. So, you have a female exhumed so that she can be buried.
So you're not buried on your own as a lonely, sad bachelor.
But do you get permission from the female's family member to do this, or do they just steal the corpse?
No, this is why
I just want to point out the worst is over, you loser. You've already spent your whole life on your own. What difference is the corpse lying next to you going to make? You've spent your life on your own. You're dying alone. So what the hell do you care that you're buried on your own?
They're stealing the corpses. Now, at one point, I found this kind of funny. Yes, but then I thought, imagine if, for example, my mom was dead. And I went to the graveyard to,
someone
I'm just
dug
missing
her up
my mom.
Put her next to some single guy.
And I don't know where my mother's body is. Oh. That is freaky.
Well, you know that they say a grave, any human grave, is usually only visited by one, maximum two generations after it's died. And then it's done. No one visits that person again.
Oh, wow.
Huh? There's no way to make sure that your great-grandchildren will ever visit you.
No.
There's no way. Anyway, how macabre for a Friday. Yes, Flax, what is it?
There's a whacked-out company in Japan that hosts these weird dinner parties. So you go with, say, a group of six.
Mm-hmm.
The men are blindfolded. And the women drop their pants, and the men go stand behind their bum and wait for them to fart. And then they have to try figure out who's their wife according to the smell of their fart.
Gosh, what the hell is going on here? What
Japan
is going
is, come on. Japan is so weird.
They are completely
They're
weird.
They're so weird. Oh, that's my wife. No, that's not her. No, that's a man. No, that's Fred's wife. Oh, I know who that is. That's Rilebochile.
Now, what's the point of this again? Why are they doing this?
It's just a dinner party game to make dinner fun.
You know, the Japanese are they're so advanced and they're so fantastic that they now are bored and they're inventing stupid stuff like this to keep things interesting in Japan. What a strange place.
Yeah, you are so right, though, because they are supremely advanced, especially when it comes to technology. I mean, they're like the leaders of that whole space. But now we're smelling each other's farts at dinner tables.
Oh, it's disgusting. I would not. There's no amount of boredom in the world that would drive me to want to smell. I don't even want to know that women do that. As far as I'm concerned, women never fart. Hasitwe says, listening to the cliffcentral.com app, and I can't believe my curious mind never thought of clicking on the button more. Cecia, you're helping people every step of the way.
We live and we learn.
And Ramon says, we're not anti, frankly speaking, we're anti bullshit. So you can go and listen to the Renegade Report with him and with Jonathan Witt. I'll eventually pronounce his name right.
Ramon.
Ramon.
Yeah, it's meant to be Romain.
Romain.
But he says Ramon because South Africans can't pronounce it. So I just swap the A and the O. So say Roman, but then swap the A and the O. So go Ramon.
So it's spelled Roman, but it's pronounced Romain.
Correct.
So it's probably not Cabernet either. It's Cabernet.
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 Ramon Cabernet.
Yeah. Anyway, you can go and listen to that. He and Jonathan Witt, there's going to be a new episode every week of the Renegade Report. All right, listen. We've got the South African water polo team coming in. We're going to be joined by Lebogang Yende, who's a writer, poet, lyricist, and HR postgraduate. Wrote a song called We Are All Monkeys. Very controversial. Been writing songs, studying, and trying to get a job to save up for a professional recording. But this morning, we will make Lebogang famous, and you can help us to do that. In the meantime, here is a beautiful version of Alanis Morissette's You Oughta Know, which is still one of the most painful breakup songs in the history of humanity. But she sings it so beautifully here that I thought you needed to hear it.
I want you to know. CliffCentral.com.